Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you'd like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
How about worship? That was good, right? That's good, right, Corey? That was good worship. Good job, Lillian. Good show. Good job, musicians. That was good, right? Yeah. Come on. Last week was kind of neat, wasn't it? Were you here last week? Anybody like the extra hour of sleep this morning? Or did you just wake up the same time? The clock said something different. I'm going to do a couple testimonies. Is that all right? Alex, why don't you come up? And Marco. He's on it. He's on it. Here, why don't you go first, Marco? All right. So Marco, if you're not familiar with Marco, Marco was standing right over there earlier playing that amazing Gretsch guitar. And, let's just pray that God would not be blocked if the Lord speaks to him to give it away. Let's just not, no, I'm joking. No, not at all. Keep that. It's a beautiful guitar. Beautiful guitar. But Marco has kind of a different testimony. Marco shared that I was at the Reynoso Life Group. Sam is in children's ministry today. But I was at the Reynoso Life Group this last Tuesday night, and they're in Deerfield. So if you're in the Pompano Deerfield area or South Boca and you're not in a life group, you definitely want to check that out. But the presence was so strong, right, honey? You don't need to eat. My wife, she's like the ultimate mom. She's like handing out snacks on the front row. I'm like, he's 13. He doesn't need a snack. I don't know how many years we're going to have this conversation. There's bags rustling. Oh, it's been 40 minutes since I fed them. I need to give them more food. What are you doing? And you know he's going to eat it. Look, he's eating it while I'm joking about it. He's opening the bag. What's wrong with you? Anyway. Oh, Jesus. Anyway, so we were at the Reynoso Life Group. And the presence of God was just so strong in the room. Right, Sarah? It was amazing. Did you do that? Okay. It was really kind of funny because, you know, when the presence is really strong in a service and you're like, I really can't pay attention right now. It's funny when you're in a small room with other people trying to lead a meeting and people are just like this. And people are like, I'm sorry, can you finish that sentence, please? Because you were talking. But Marco had a testimony. And it's not our average testimony, and so I just wanted him to share it this morning. He shared it at Life Group, so give it up for Marco, everybody.
I am a music instructor.
What do you teach? Just so we'll just put that out there since you're on stage.
I teach guitar. I actually give guitar lessons and drum lessons.
So he instructs guitar and drums.
Yes.
And he played guitar this morning. He played drum Friday night, right?
Yes.
Excellent. All right, so there you go. If you're looking to, go ahead.
Okay, so God put in my heart this desire to those people who had that heart of worship and had that talent with music. So God put in my heart to guide them and instruct them. And so also put in my heart to for the kids to teach them more with the music and all. Worship, pretty much worship. And so on Saturday weekend, right?
Yeah, Saturday when we had that full weekend of prayer and fasting, or not fasting, but we did prayer and worship for 3 days straight, right?
Yes. Pastor gave me a word, and he said, Marco, God is showing me that you just have to focus on the kids to worship God with only simple chords and all that. So I received that. And so when I started having kids coming over to my house, I tried to apply what I was teaching at the academy, and it was so hard for me. Actually, it was hard for them also to learn music and worship God at the same time. I was struggling, and I was praying to God, why is this so hard for me to teach kids? And the word the pastor gave me that Saturday, it just came into my mind. And as I did it, I said, oh, thank you, Lord, because that's what I was supposed to do. And when I started doing it, the kids started worshiping God, praying to Jesus, and they had that heart of praying for people.
Here's what's really neat about that word. The only music instruction I've ever had in my life was I played a little snare drum in the sixth grade for one semester. I've never had a music lesson in my life. And so it's not that I'm a great musician and I gave him this great musical instruction word. I don't know anything about teaching music. Nothing. But the Holy Ghost does, amen?
Yeah. Amen.
And so you got this word about teaching guitar or teaching music to kids. And he didn't even have a class for kids yet. Mm-hmm. And I've never taught a class ever. Months ahead of time, because he showed up at the prayer meeting, he got this word. And before he's a musician, Marco's a musician second. He's a worshiper first.
Amen.
Right? Some people are musicians who happen to worship. He's a worshiper who happens to play instruments.
Amen.
And so it was his heart to multiply worship using instruments. And so Holy Ghost knew that, and he taught them, and they began worshiping on their instruments, right?
Yes.
That's a good word right there, right? Hallelujah. You're like, big deal. Unless it's your business that's not working out well, and the Lord gives you a word on how to make it work, then we give glory to Jesus, right? And we say, you just played some kids some chords. Oh, yeah, well, that's how he pays bills. And so you want that to work, and God wants it to work as well. Amen? That's a good word.
Amen.
Give it for Alex, everybody. Alex emailed in a testimony.
Amen.
And when do you want to share that?
Amen. It happens towards the end of summer. My mom came from Connecticut and to be 1 week with my daughter. And unfortunately, that week, my daughter decided to go back with her mom. So I was a little bit kind of down just because I want to spend time with my daughter. But at the same token, God is so awesome because out of something bad, God just could make it better.
Amen.
Okay? So because she left back with her mom on that Sunday, I was be able to bring my mom to life group that we were doing it at the office. Mm-hmm. And she's been with back pain for the last probably 15 longer years. Like she just been, every day she had to be like on medication. She had to put patch in her back almost like every night just so she could live her life. And back in the day, she kind of asked the doctor what would be, you know, if I get surgery, what would be, you know, the percentage of it, how good I'm going to be. He says, I cannot give you that. So she said, well, I'm not going to get the surgery done. So she just stayed there for, like I said, longer than 15 years. And
15 years she's 15 had the
problem. Okay. Yeah. And just, you know, snap of the second, God just healed her right there. We were praying for her.
A life group.
And it's been... It's been longer. It's been about 3 months or so, and every time when I call her, I say, how's your back? She's like, no pain, glory to Jesus. So,
Hallelujah. That's good, man.
Amen.
What's happening to you right now?
I don't know. I'm just getting rocked by the Holy Spirit.
Getting rocked by the Holy Spirit? Let's pray for Alex to get more rocked by the Holy Spirit, shall we? Father, that you would give him more. Y'all praying? There it is right there. Yeah, there it is. There's the fire right there. Hallelujah. Father, we just ask for more fire in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Give it up for Jesus, everybody. We're going to do one more quick housekeeping thing that I forgot about, honey. I need Chelsea. Come on up. I'm going to get my wife and Sarah Pagano as well, if you would. Chelsea is taking over Revival Kids Junior. As many of you know, Denise Davis set this whole thing in motion. And for months now, has been raising up Chelsea to lead this ministry, and now's the time. It's the timing of the Lord, amen? And so just here's how this works. Vavikas Jr. is our nursery, whatever we call that. Sarah here is our Revival Kids director, director of Revival Kids, Children's Ministry. She's in charge of the kids. My wife coordinates all that, I guess. I don't know exactly. And I have the microphone, so that's why I'm up here. So, Sarah, why don't you pray for her, and we'll all stretch our hand. If you would, we'll stretch your hand. We're just going to bless her in this new ministry.
Boom! Right there.
Oh, Father, I thank you for what you're doing in Chelsea's life, God. Well, Father, I just pray that you give her power in this new season of her life. I just declare that that ministry blessed because she's leading it, God.
Fire the Holy Ghost.
Father, you just pour out your presence on her as she leads. You just give her wisdom and clarity and just.
Boom! Shaka.
Jesus, give her more. Everybody set? That she would lead well, that she would have lots of good volunteers, Father. The kids would not run away. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Thank you very much. Usher, if I could get somebody to make her nice and comfy, that'd be awesome. Ah, right here, Jesus. Thank you. All right, if you got a Bible, go ahead and grab it. Ah. I know Chelsea, and she's thinking, how do I get off this stage? How do I get off the stage, Jesus? You can go ahead and turn to the book of Leviticus, chapter 6. You can put your finger there, and you can hold on for a moment. On a personal note, I should have done this earlier. I want to thank everybody who sent me a card or whatever for pastor appreciation. I really I appreciate it. I don't need it because I know I feel appreciated. I think there's churches that the pastors are ready to quit at any given moment because they can't stand the people they pastor. And you think that's funny, but it's true. But I live with you guys, and I love you. But I really thank you for the cards, the gifts, the ones that came in the mail. Got a really great gift this morning. I have a story I'll tell you in the next couple weeks about that and how it was the Lord talking. Got a nice new watch. Thank you very much. My wife also thanks you for the gifts, the cards, and the love. Amen. Did I cover everything, honey? Thank you. Excellent. All right. All right, got your Bible? One more housekeeping thing. Red boxes. I brought my pictures in for the people who are going to get saved. Now, Lou, are you in here, Lou? Make sure this is private. Don't let anybody look inside the boxes. Okay? Don't let anybody look in the boxes. And so, but I just request that you don't put pictures of me. That would really hurt my feelings. The Lord will tell me, don't do that. That's not nice. But just putting people in the body, in the intercessors, pray over them Friday night. We're just believing Jesus is going to touch these people and add them to the house. Amen? Are we good? Did we talk about the Christmas party? Christmas party, man. Be there or be ostracized. Leviticus chapter 6. Leviticus, of course, is the third book in our Bible. The Bible, we believe, was written by God. It's one book that contains 66 books that make up our Holy Bible. We believe that the Holy Spirit was in charge of getting this whole book together. There's 39 books in the Bible before Jesus came, of course. And then there's 27 books that were written after he ascended to heaven. We call the first group of books the Old Testament and the New Testament. Some call it the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. Although there's more than two covenants in the book, it makes it, I don't know, we just dismiss all the other ones, I guess. Leviticus is in the first five books of the Bible. Some people call it the Law, the Book of the Law, or the Torah. Most people attribute its writing to Moses, though he clearly could not have written part of it, since it talks about his death and what happened after he died. That would be difficult. The Bible's written over 1,600 years. First book that was penned was Job. Believe it or not, it wasn't actually written in this order. But the first one was written by Job. The last is one of the New Testament epistles. A little debate on which one it is. I'm not going to tell you which one I believe was written last. It's irrelevant. But we see that in the book, we see that God begins the book as it's written for us, with the creation of the world. Later it talks about not only the creation of the world, but it talks about God's people, the Israelites, how he started with Jacob, of course, who we call the father of faith. Abraham, not Jacob. Abraham had a son, Isaac. Isaac's family was a little messed up. Really wasn't sure what was going on there. You had Jacob. Jacob, of course, had 12 sons. And during the life of his sons, you good there, Alex? You good? How's that right there? And so, had 12 sons, and there was a famine, of course. God preserved them. See what happens? You get up too quick. Can you imagine if you're on the operating table, and halfway through you just got bored and you left? Imagine that would be like, Mike. Remember when you had your procedure, and you were there, and they were doing stuff? Imagine halfway through you just woke up and decided to, I think I'm done now. I'll just leave. This is uncomfortable. That wouldn't be good, would it? No, you don't get off God's operating table till he's done operating. Amen? You just got to let him do it. You're like, this feels weird, though. Well, being operated on is supposed to feel weird. It's not supposed to be normal, right? Are you with me? Let God finish before you get up. Let him finish, although he has a pillow now. Because that stage is not comfortable. Now he's getting baked. That's good, right? All right. I was talking, wasn't I? Oh, yeah. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. And so there was a famine, of course. And they went off to Egypt, try to find some food in the midst of the famine. And the Lord preserved them, moved them to Egypt. There was about 70 of them at that point. And unfortunately, when they moved there, they basically became slaves. And over the years of their captivity, they multiplied, and there was many, many of them. And they were in captivity for so long, they began to cry out for a deliverer, right? They began to cry out for a deliverer, and the Lord heard their cry, and he raised up a deliverer named Moses. Now, Moses was born, of course, and was put in the river to be cast off because his mom was hoping that he wouldn't be murdered. And Moses means to draw out because he was drawn out of the river by Pharaoh's daughter. And he was the River Nile. He was drawn out of the river and raised in the Pharaoh's house by the Pharaoh's daughter. And if you saw the Disney version, it was a little different. I don't read the Disney Bible, so I have to tell it the way it's written in this one. So he was drawn out, and they raised Moses up in Pharaoh's house. Now, the life of Moses is split into three equal parts. The first 40 years, he was raised in Pharaoh's house. Second 40 years, he was a shepherd in Midian. And the last 40 years, he led God's people. He exited God's people out of Egypt toward the promised land. That's why the second book of the Bible, first one was Genesis, talked about the beginnings. Genesis means the beginning or creation or first things. Second one was Exodus, and it talks about that exiting from Egypt to the promised land. To the third one, which is Leviticus, which is the book of the law. And when those 12 sons of Jacob, one of them was Levi. And it's named Leviticus after the tribe of Levi. Levi, of course, was one of the older sons of Jacob. His job, and as it turns out, his lineage that came after him, their job was to teach God's law and teach God's ways. And so here we have the book of Leviticus. Excuse me. They had been in Egypt for 400 years, right? And when you're somewhere for 400 years, you start learning what it's like to be in that place more than where you're supposed to be. And Egypt is a symbol in our Bible for the world. Many times today, people can quote the statistics of their favorite athlete, but can't quote the statistics of the Bible. They know exactly how many points a certain football player was able to score or how many yards they ran, but they have no idea where in the Bible to show somebody salvation. We learn more about the ways of this world and how to get ahead in business than we know the ways of the kingdom. That's the ways of Egypt. And God tells us we need to come out from among them and be a separate people. Amen? Can you hear me? Can I get a little more volume? I feel like I'm going hoarse already. I don't plan on yelling today, so we can get it a little louder. And so, you know, the Levites had to teach these people God's ways. They had to teach God's people, here's what God is expecting from you. Here's what God wants you to do. Here's the things that we're expecting you to walk out and how to conduct yourselves. And so we find ourselves in Leviticus chapter 6. And, of course, we're not under the law, but the law still reveals God's nature. And in Leviticus chapter 6, verse 8, we start seeing what they expect us to do, what the Levites, what the priests were expected to do with the sacrifice. Are you with me still? I didn't lose you in that little history lesson, did I? We're all together here. It's good to understand where the Bible comes from. It's not just a collection of confusing things. There's actually a story behind it. God knew what he was doing when he wrote it. And so we see here, of course, when God originally lit the fire on the altar, amen? God gave them the first fire for the sacrifice. You with me? And we talk a lot about that, but we're about to read a little bit of scripture here. We're going to start in verse 8 of Leviticus chapter 6. Are you there? It says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law for the burnt offering. The burnt offering itself shall remain on the hearth of the altar all night until the morning. And the fire on the altar is to be kept burning on it. The priest is to put on his linen robe, and he shall put on undergarments next to his flesh. And he shall take up the ashes to which the fire reduces the burnt offering on the altar and place them beside the altar. Then he shall take off his garments and put on other garments and carry the ashes outside the camp to a clean place. The fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not go out. But the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and he shall lay out the burnt offering on it and offer up in smoke the fat portions of the peace offering on it. Fire shall be kept burning continually on the altar. It is not to go out." And Father, we trust that you will bless the reading of your word, and you will bless the preaching of the word today, and you will bring revelation to our hearts, Lord, and you will speak to us what you're speaking, Lord, that we would have ears to hear and eyes to see what you're communicating to us, your beloved, in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen and amen. Now listen, we're a Spirit-filled church if you didn't recognize. We believe in the moving of the Spirit. We believe in Pentecost. We believe in a modern Pentecost. We believe in the gifts. We believe in encounters. We believe in the nearness of God. We believe in the intimacy of God. We believe that Jesus Christ himself wants to know us. And we believe that he wants to be known. Amen? We believe that the fire from the altar lives on the inside of us in the form of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And we believe that Spirit fire will burn in us and consume all the sin in our life. But not only that, it'll consume the sacrifice. Amen? And in Pentecost, we talk a lot about the fire on the altar. We talk a lot about how God will light that fire and we're to keep the fire burning. We talk a lot about the fire of the Holy Spirit, and the fire of revival, and the passion toward God. I want to talk a little bit today about keeping our altar burning. I have a very simple message because at the end here, we're going to have a fire tunnel. And I'm excited about that. Anybody else excited about the fire tunnel? Excellent. It's going to be very good. I feel the presence of God here right now. You feel the presence of God? You feel the presence of God over there, Alex? Yeah? How you doing, Chelsea? You feeling the presence of God over there? Yeah? Okay, good. Excellent. I want you to meditate on what God is speaking. I have a very, very, very simple message today. I'm going to go through a bunch of things. Some may apply to you, some may not. I want your heart to be receptive to what Holy Spirit is speaking. All right? And at the end of the service, we're going to deal with some stuff, and then we're going to let God light a new fire on the inside of us. Amen? That's the plan for today. We're going to deal with some stuff. We're going to let Holy Spirit search our hearts. We're going to give it to him. Then we're going to let him light a new fire. Amen? Are you good? Here's what I noticed in this scripture right here. Again, we talk a lot about lighting the fire. And it talks about how we have to put the sacrifice on the altar. Now, the Bible says that man built this altar for God, and then God came and lit a fire on it. Amen? Now, this fire, I don't have a lot of time to get into this because it's not the main point of my message, but this fire of God is to burn in our life through the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Now, many of you got that fire lit when you came to the altar and you received Christ as Savior. When you come and you give him, the funny thing about God is he's true to his word, and he's not mysterious in that we have no idea what he wants. We know what he wants, everything. You're like, what do you want, God? He's like, yes. I give you my yes. Well, I'll give you this. You want the yes. You want the yes. Yes, I want it all. He wants it all. He wants it all. And I found Jesus will consume every offering you give him. You just take it all. And we sing a song that was written in this house. You can have it all. You can just have it all. Because that's God's heart. He wants it all. He just, because when you give it to him, he takes care of it. He's like the ultimate management company. He takes care of stuff and makes it better. And so when we give, you know, if you want the fire of God in your life, if you feel right now, I've never had the fire of God burning in my life. I've never had this fire of the Holy Ghost. I've never had this unction that's greater power than I'm used to. Here's all you have to do. Give him a sacrifice. Just give him a sacrifice. You wake up, you give him a sacrifice, and you just watch him send fire to burn it up. And he's faithful to let that fire come and burn. The other way, you know, there's two ways to get a fire lit, and we talk about this a lot. That's why I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. There's two ways to get a fire lit. Number one, you can use friction or work very hard to get the wood hot enough to start burning. Number two is you get near a fire. You know, you see these camping shows. I don't understand why the show's got to be so crazy these days, Mike. I don't get it. I wish I was one of those preachers who told you I don't own a TV. I do, and I watch it. I just don't feel it's the devil. It's a TV. It's what I turn it to that determines what the TV is. Amen. There's like, you know, I like these survival shows. I don't know why they got to have ones that people are naked. I don't get the point of that. Why do they do that? Why would you? I don't understand. I don't even understand the point of that. I don't get it. If you haven't seen that, don't look for it. But they have various survival shows now, and one of the great things to watch on this is how long is it going to take them? Number one, to get fire, number two, to get water, number three, to get food, right? And these people talk about they're great survivalists. I'm just, you know, I walk through Utah and I eat stuff, and they go there and they just starve for 3 weeks or 2 weeks or however long the show is. But then they try for like 2 hours to start a fire, and give up, or 2 days, and sometimes they just never get fire because it's just not that easy to start a fire on your own. You know, when you walk around with a lighter or you walk around, you know, when you got fire-making utensils, it's pretty easy. In other words, when you walk around with fire, it's easy to have fire. But when you don't have fire, it's very, very difficult to get fire. The majority of us, if you just put us in the woods and said, here, start a fire, we're just going to die. They're like, just here, have this cup of water. We're like, no, that's just delaying the inevitable. I'm going to heaven soon, you know, we're just not starting a fire. And this is funny. Sarah Pagano and I were on a plane not too long ago. Remember this, Sarah? You got to be a realist sometimes, amen? We were flying back from North Carolina, and it wasn't Sarah and I. There were a whole bunch of us. Just Sarah and I happened to be on the plane. We don't generally travel together or anything like that. Hey, I'm going to North Carolina. I'll come. Sure. No. And so we had a really bumpy flight. I've done a fair amount of flying in my life. This one was pretty bad the whole time. And Sarah doesn't like flying to begin with. And so she wasn't doing well. And I was cool. And I said to Sarah afterwards, I was like, were you okay? She's like, you know, no. She was like, I was like sitting there thinking, can I share this story? Is it okay? I'm already halfway through it. Doesn't matter. She said, I was thinking, you know, my husband's really handy. You know, if we were to crash, we could probably make shelter. I was like, really? I said, that's funny. I was at peace. She was like, that helped her calm down. I was like, I was calm because I was like, if we crash, we're all dying and going to heaven. She was like, what? I was like, oh, yeah, there's no way we would have survived that. We'd all be dead. We're all dead. There's no way we're surviving that. We're all going to die and go to heaven. And this is going to sound terrible. Don't hate me when I tell you this. I was like, we're on the plane. My kids are on the plane. I'm good. Let's just do it. You know, I don't want to die and leave my kids. Does that sound crazy? But I'm just like, we're all going to heaven. This worst thing that happens today, I'm going to heaven. That's good. But if not, I got to like clean the house when we get home because we didn't clean before we went on the vacation. And so I'm a little torn. I'm a little torn in how the flight is going because I don't remember. I think our tire was low in our car, and so I would have to get it patched when we get back. You know, but like if you put me on a desert island and they're like, make fire, I'm like, okay, how long can you live without water? That's just how I would be, okay. I'll see you. There's no way I'm going to live because starting a fire is not that easy. It's just not that easy. And there's these professional people that go on these shows and... You ain't catching nothing. Corey and I went out spear fishing. You know how difficult that is? When you have fins and a real spear, you and a stick, you're catching nothing. If you think that, and here's the deception of it. If you think you're going to go out there, I'm going to catch a squirrel. The moment you think you're going to catch something with any object, you just got to know, I'm starving to death. That's all that's going to happen. Has anybody in here touched a squirrel in your life? And that's when you're trying to make a friend. It knows you're trying to kill it and eat it. There's no way you're catching anything to kill it. It's not happening. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Remember when I was little, like sharpen a stick, I was going to hunt lizards. I didn't get near a lizard. They knew, like, they have a, oh, he wants to kill me now. I'm not here to freak him out. He's here to freak me out. I'm leaving. It's not going to work. What are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about survival, man. Come on, you need this. And so if you don't have fire, good Lord, you want to tell somebody, I need some fire. I don't be like, no, I'll make my own. No, I'm going to Corey's house. Hey, you got any fire, bro? Light this on fire for me, please. Can you just light this stick on fire? My house didn't have any fire. You hear what I'm saying? And throughout history, there's been a couple men and women who were able to get the fire on their own, and they spread it to other people. But that's not most of us in the room. We need to get it from somebody. And that's not even my message, but you need to get the fire of God in your life. You need to have the fire of the Holy Ghost burning in your life. You need to get around some folks that got the fire, and so that thing can be burning and consume the sacrifice. There's nothing worse than trying to offer something to God and God don't consume it because there's no fire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so they built an altar and they left out a sacrifice and according to what God told them, and then out of nowhere, boom! Holy Ghost of God came and consumed it with his fire. The God said, listen, I lit it. It's your job to keep it burning. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's your job to keep the fire burning. And what you'll notice is, over time, you will not notice that your fire gets dimmer and dimmer. You don't notice that over time it gets dimmer and dimmer. One day it was a blazing inferno. Has anybody started a bonfire? It's fun when a bonfire is going. Now, in South Florida, bonfire is like, you know, you got a little fire pit that you bought at Walmart, and you got one log burning. I got a bonfire happening. No. No, you actually don't. We had a fire pit in our backyard. We're singing a song. Sitting around the campfire. It's not a campfire. It was one little log that we bought from Publix. You know what I mean? It's not even a real log. It's probably, you know, colored old newspaper. Who knows what it is? But in South Florida, that's a bonfire. But if you ever started a big fire, you know, it's hard to keep a big fire burning because it constantly needs new fuel. Funny thing happens when you put something on a fire, it burns. And then it's not burning anymore. And you have to work to keep the fire going. Experienced campers know that you only want a fire big enough, as big as you need, because it's going to consume all your firewood. Right? You with me? And so the priest had to keep this fire burning all the time, just like we're called to keep the fire burning on the inside of us. And we don't recognize out of nowhere, man, this fire isn't burning like it once did. I'm not excited about the things of God like I once was. I'm not excited about getting into the Word. I'm not as active in my holiness as I once was. You'll sit around thinking, man, there was a time there's no way I would have watched this show, and here I am telling other people about it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? There's no way I would have gone here. There's no way I would have had that. You leave a conversation, you say, was that gossip? Did I just spend the last 15 minutes gossiping? There was a time in my walk I would have shut that down, and now I just did that. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We got to keep that blazing fire of the Holy Ghost burning in us. And God knew this. God knew that what will keep our fire from burning, and he gives some very specific instructions right here in this scripture. Now, we often talk about putting the sacrifice on the altar, but interesting, what he says in here to the Levites, let me get it right here. Excuse me. Starting in verse 10, he says, after he tells him in verse 9 to keep the altar burning, he says, verse 10, the priest is to put on his linen robe, and he shall put on undergarments next to his flesh, which is a good place to put undergarments. I feel like we need a class on that sometimes, but. Next was flesh, and he shall take up the ashes to which the fire reduces the burnt offering on the altar, and place them beside the altar. Then he shall take off his garments and put on other garments, and carry the ashes outside the camp to a clean place. Side note, Jesus Christ is our sacrifice, amen? It's because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that we don't have to do this to be right with God. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad, leaders in the house, that you don't have to be killing a ram for people this morning? Aren't you glad, worship leaders, you don't have to wear just a linen ephod and then slaughter a ram? You know how we gossip about people already? Now, you know different sins took different offerings. You know, Kevin walks in, he's got three doves. You're like, Old Joe walks in with a whole bull. Like, wow, this has been a bad week, huh? It's been rough. I think we judge people now. Right? I can see what disciples just like, listen, I'm tired of killing bulls. Can you just stop? Can you stop doing that? Oh, Jesus. But all these sacrifices, they would get consumed and these ashes would begin to choke out the fire. And what I've found is in our walk, we put things on the altar for God to consume them. And then after a while, our altar gets a little choked. It gets a little polluted with old stuff. I found that every now and then we got to go and we got to clean off the altar. Make room for fresh stuff. We got to sweep the ashes. And again, side note, Jesus Christ, he died. He was sacrificed for our sins. You remember what they did with his body? They had to put it in a clean place. Amen? It says here that the priests had to get the ashes, gather them, and take it to a clean place outside the camp. They got Jesus, and they put him in a tomb that had never been used before. It had not been soiled by dead bodies. It was a clean place outside the camp where they put Jesus' body. And that is what you're supposed to do with the things that are put on the altar. When the altar is done with them, you take them and you put them on a clean place. That's why Jesus wasn't left there overnight hanging from a tree. And so in our lives, we need to find the old stuff. And at some point, we got to say, old things have passed away. I need to move this out of my life and make room for some new stuff so I can keep the fire burning. Now, you come to Christ with all these issues and whatnot, and he consumes them. And if you think, oh, I'm done, woohoo, now I can just live forever. You need fresh fire. You need fresh fire. I want to challenge you slightly today in a happy way. When's the last time you had a major challenge from God? Not a major challenge from your flesh. When's the last time God put his finger on something in your life and said, hey, why don't you give me that? Has it been recent? Hey, why don't you just give me that? Whoa, why don't you just put that on the altar? I had, let me give you a little example from me personally. Just, and this is a little thing. I was praying for Travis, and the Lord said to me, why don't you give him your shoes? I was like, I just bought these shoes. And then I heard myself say it. And I was like, all right, I'll give him the shoes. He says, no, I'm kidding. Just pray for his feet. I was like, what? Why would you do that to me? What's up for that? And so I took off his shoes and I prayed for his feet. This is last week, right? And he like told me with the significance of that prayer, it meant something. Now, I don't even think he'd fit in my shoes, but God was testing my heart. But to him, I gave up my shoes. I don't want to buy new shoes. Shoes cost money. I need those shoes. But God will put his finger on stuff. Why don't you give me that? I want to see what your heart is. I was like, okay. He's like, no, I'm just kidding. Just pray for his feet. Why are you playing? Stop playing. Stop playing. So I want to just run through a couple real quick things that I want you to test while we're here in the service. Holy Spirit is just gonna speak, and we're just gonna say some things. Hey, we're gonna test and see if God resonates something in your heart. Amen. Amen. going to talk about sweeping ashes from the altar. My first question to you is, how's your love walk? How's your love walk? And I'm going to get a little more specific. How's forgiveness in your life? Nothing pollutes your altar like unforgiveness. Nothing pollutes the altar of your heart like unforgiveness. You know, we say we forgive people and we move on, but if it's still coming up in your head, that's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is, Felipe, do me a favor. Can you get that book off the table for me? Forgiveness is when you release somebody from the debt they owe you. That means they no longer owe you anything. You say, Christ paid for it. I'm no longer going to require that from you. Are you with me? Forgiveness, Jesus said, was fairly important. Thank you, fine sir. Give it up for Felipe, everybody. Felipe, everybody. Felipe Aruda, everybody. Felipe Aruda, everybody. Felipe, everybody. Felipe Aruda. Felipe Aruda, everybody. As we look through Matthew chapter 6, which is probably one of the more anointed chapters in the Bible, Jesus runs through a list of things, and he talks about, at the beginning, talks about being humble, and then he talks about prayer, and then he talks about forgiveness, and then he talks about fasting, and he talks about being generous. And again, nothing will block your faith walk, nothing blocks your love walk like unforgiveness. If you're someone who walks around constantly bitter at people, and you're constantly thinking about how people got over on you and how people are taking advantage of you and how you're a victim, that's because you're walking in unforgiveness. I hate to tell you this, but you're not a victim. If you know who Christ is, you're victorious. You hear me? It's like, you know, you won the lotto and they only gave you $999,999 out of the million, and you're going to complain about the $1. You got cleansed from the penalty of sin and death, and you're upset that somebody wasn't nice to you. I'm not getting the punishment that I deserve, but she wasn't nice. Let me say it like this. Jesus said it in Matthew 6:14. If you forgive others for their sins, your Father in heaven will also forgive you. That's a good deal, right? But he didn't stop there. But if you don't forgive others, then your Father won't forgive you. Whoa, it's conditional. Well, what do you know? God's like, I'm only going to give you forgiveness if you promise to give it away. I'm going to give you forgiveness, but you got to promise to give it away. And does that mean if you don't forgive people, you're going to hell? I don't know that the scripture says that. But I do know that you will be bound to sin if you don't walk in forgiveness. When you forgive, it releases you from the offense that happened. When you don't forgive, you are continually bound to that event. When you're a victim, the offense continues to live. But when you forgive, now you've taken control of the situation. That gives you power. And so often we don't forgive and then we wonder why we're not really experiencing the life of God. Unforgiveness, because in the very nature of his mission was to forgive people's sins. And if we don't want to get in line with what God came to the earth to do, and then we wonder why he's not more active in our life, it's a little silly. It's like telling Lillian, hey Lillian, I want to be on the worship team. I want to be part of that. I meet all the qualifications, but I don't actually want to do any music. Nothing to do with any kind of music because music hurt me. I was hurt by music once, and so I don't want to be a part of the music, but I want to be on the worship team. And then I come there a couple months later, I don't feel like I'm really a part of the team. And you're like, well, the purpose of the team is music. Ah, come on, music hurt me. Come on, what else can I do? It's one more of the benefits of being on the team. That's stupid, right? Father sent Jesus to forgive people of sinners, to forgive people of their sin. You say, I don't want to be a part of forgiving. Well, how are you going to work that out? So I want you to just let the Holy Spirit search your heart. Is there unforgiveness at work in your heart right now? Do you have to forgive me for this message? I don't know. You got to love me if you want to go to heaven, right? Now listen, we have this little book that we're actually selling for a loss because we think it's an amazing investment. Now, if you have not read this book, just repent. And if you are a ministry team director or a team leader and you've not read this book, hear me. This is how serious I am. I need you to either read the book, borrow somebody else's, or stop being a leader. It's that important. If you do not understand forgiveness, I don't know how you minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. Does that mean I walk in forgiveness perfectly? No, I really don't. I really don't walk in forgiveness perfectly. I want to, though. I want to. And so I'm reading stuff over and over. I'm walking that out with fear and trembling. But we have to represent the gospel that we say we're here for. Amen? Are you with me? Are we on the same page? You love me? Do you want to be free from your offenses? Figure out how to forgive. Amen? You guys with me? Is anybody's birthday today? It was? Awesome, Mike. That's good. But if I gave you the book, that would be you saying that you didn't read it, and that would make you look bad. So I wouldn't do that. Is it your book? Is it your birthday, Josh? Okay. Is it your birthday? Okay. You would know if it's your birthday, everybody. I just have a feeling. And that wouldn't be a trick question. You just know inherently, because every year around this time, you've celebrated it. Is it anybody's anniversary this week? Well, you read the book. Okay, here we go. Healing Jesus. We have two message series on this, and you want to listen to them. If this is a problem for you, forgiveness, if forgiveness to you looks like people are still going to get over on you, you don't. You've been lied to about what forgiveness looks like. It doesn't mean people are allowed to hurt you. All right? We have two message series. Write this down. The Heart of the Matter is one message series. You want to listen to that? Watch the videos if you want. God will do a work of the Holy Spirit in your heart. The second one is Perfected Love. Heart of the Matter and Perfective Love, they're both on our website. Listen to the message series. Put it in your iPod or put it in your phone and listen to it while you're at work. Or you want to meditate on these things, and Holy Spirit will minister to you through them. Amen? So number one is forgiveness. Number two, second thing I want you to check your heart on is prayer and intercession. This is how you keep the fire going. Number one, you keep that fire going through forgiveness. Number two, prayer and intercession. Now, we have several intercession meetings. I'm just going to be very honest, all right? If you feel called to ministry and you don't feel it important to get to a prayer meeting, you're probably not called to ministry. It's like saying, I want to be a plumber, but I don't really want to go to plumber school. Okay, well, no one's ever going to pay you to be a plumber. Anybody want a plumber come work on their stuff that hasn't been to school? No thanks. Right? You're right? I mean, it is what it is. And so, prayer and intercession is the heart of ministry. It's the absolute foundation of ministry. It's the absolute foundation. And if you are feeling like your fire is not burning on the altar, I'm calling you to the prayer meeting. I'm calling you to a place of intercession. You say, Pastor, I can't. I have to work. I have to go to school. Okay, I get that. So you have to work a little harder to ignite your prayer and intercession life. Here's what intercession looks like. Can I tell you what it looks like? When I was young in the Lord, intercession looked a lot like complaining to God. And I would see people trying to fight spiritual battles that Jesus already won. Here's what intercession looks like as far as I can tell. I find out what God says about stuff, and then I tell him about it. I don't tell him what the world looks like. I prophesy to the world how God sees the world. Right? You with me on that? All right. Happy intercession. Matthew chapter 6, we're still in Matthew 6. He says, verse 6, he says, you, when you pray, say when you pray. See, look at that. But you, me, say me. When I pray. Jesus is saying when you pray, not if. When you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, pray to your Father who's in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Go back to the earlier slide. I want you to see something really quick. When you pray, go into your inner room. Where's your inner room? If you don't know where your inner room is, where's your prayer place? Where's your place of prayer? Where's your secret place? Where is the place that you know if I go there, I will encounter God? If you don't have a secret place with God, you need to find one. It's now your mission in life to strike out and say, when I go here, I know God will meet me. Early in my walk, I had a very, very early in my walk, I was spent an entire summer at my friend's house. And he was out of town. He was at an internship the entire summer, so I got to stay in his room because I was broke. I had nowhere to live. Hallelujah. And so I was in his room, and he had this little rug on the floor. And I used to cry out to Jesus because I had just really gotten to know him. And I would cry. I would have the most incredible encounters with Jesus in that room. And at the end of the summer, I moved into my own apartment. He came back. And every time I go to his apartment, I duck in, I look in his room, and I look at that rug, and it would bring me right back. Because I had so much history, I almost stole it from him, but I felt like that was somehow would soil. But I had made a secret place right there on that spot, and I knew when I go to pray right there, God was going to meet me. And if you don't have that secret place where you say, if I could just make it here. And to many of you, that first place is going to be the prayer meeting. We have prayer, of course, Tuesday morning at 6:30. We have prayer Friday night right here at 7:30-ish. There's prayer Sunday morning right back here at Intercession. We just pray. We just really believe God comes through in prayer. And if you don't have a secret place of your own, and you're like, I don't even know how to pray, you need to get around people who know how to pray. That's how you learn how to pray. You get around people who can pray. There's no other way around it. Amen? Still love me? All right, so we got forgiveness. We got keeping our fire burning through prayer and intercession. Number three, share your faith. When's the last time you told your testimony to somebody? Or is that just ashes on the altar now? When's the last time you told somebody what Jesus did in your life? And by somebody, I mean somebody who doesn't know him. When's the last time you saw somebody in Walmart and you just told them, man, this is what God did for me? Or you told a family member, you told somebody who doesn't know Christ. Not, you know, this is what the Bible says. No, this is what Jesus did in my life. When you tell your testimony, the fire gets reignited every time. That first love gets rekindled every time. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus said to his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. When I first got saved, I would preach the gospel to everything, all creation, light posts. My shower was very anointed. I preached in there a lot. I'd had old crusades happening in the shower. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Any fellas know what I'm talking about? Any fellas have shower revivals? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Is anybody called? Yes? If you're a preacher, you know what I'm talking about. Preaching in the shower. Corey knows what I'm talking about, huh? Oh, yeah. Some anointed soap. It's been bathed in the word. Hallelujah. Preaching. I'd preach to everything. I ain't care. I was preaching to all kinds of stuff. Tell your testimony to people. Number four. Let me see where we're at here. All right, we're almost done. Number four, Corey, get ready. But don't come yet. I don't know what that looks like. Number four. Serve your brother. Ask God to use you to bless somebody. And that may look like, you know, anything. But use God, to let God use you to serve someone. Jesus said in Matthew 23, the greatest among you shall be your servant. I want to be great. Who wants to be great? Sometimes I'm not serving you for you. I'm serving you for me. Because I know God will bless me if I serve. Amen? Number five. Is this getting anybody? Read lots and lots of Bible. Here's how I want you to read your Bible. Here's how I want you to read it. Now, you may not be able to do this every day, but you want to work this into your life. Open your Bible. Get a reading plan if you don't have one, but open your Bible and say, Lord, I'm going to read until you talk. I'm going to read until you talk. I am going to read until you talk. I was reading the scriptures this week, and I was reading near the end of Mark, and it says that the people were bringing the children to Jesus, and they were rebuking them, saying, hey, leave them alone. And as I read that, the Lord spoke to me out of nowhere, and he said, tell the people, if you're not praying for your kids, who's bringing your kids to Jesus? When you're in intercession, you're taking your kids to Jesus. I take my kids to Jesus every single day. I get before the throne of God, and I begin calling their name out, and I begin praying for them. I'm taking my kids. This isn't for everybody, but our kids are in Christian school. No condemnation if that's not where your kids are, or we weren't there financially for a long time. So, you know. But I remember when we first enrolled our kids in Christian school, and I think it was maybe the second year we went to parent-teacher conference. And I was just sitting there, and the teacher was talking, and I just felt the presence of God all over the school. You know, not even a quote-unquote Pentecostal school, but how many of you know Jesus loves all his people? Even us. And so I'm sitting there, and the teacher's talking about the class and whatnot, and she starts talking about how she prays for our kids every day. And I just got flooded. I was like, oh, my gosh, there's somebody else praying for my daughter every day by name. This woman's going to Jesus, taking my daughter there every day. It flooded my memory. And I'm asking you, who's taking your kid to Jesus? You come to Revival Kids, they're praying for your kids every single week. They're not just keeping them quiet so you can go to church. They're ministering your children. They're taking them to Jesus. You'd be like, I don't know how to pray and whatnot. You got friends who have kids and nobody's saved? You need to get them to church so their kids can have somebody taking them to Jesus. Somebody has to be taking these kids to Jesus. I want you to read your Bible with fresh, just Jesus. I'm going to read until you talk to me, amen? Jesus said in John chapter 4, he didn't actually say in John chapter 4, he spoke and John wrote it down, and later on some people called it chapter 4, all right? He didn't actually say anything in chapter 4. Just put that out there. In John chapter 4, it's recorded that Jesus said, an hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. Now, I like when you can shundai and you can run around the room and you can jump up and down during worship and you're so spiritual. I love us spiritual Christians. We're so awesome. We're so amazing. And we got revelation for everything in the world, but we can't keep our life together. That's not spirit and truth. We're to worship in spirit and truth. People get so spirit-filled, they feel like they don't need the Bible anymore. I've had people tell me the most ridiculous things in the world. Well, you know, the Bible, when Jesus was preaching, the people weren't saved yet. I'm like, what? So you know what Jesus preached was for people who weren't saved. I'm like, what? Are you? I thought it was a joke. I was waiting for somebody to come out with a camera or something. And I'm like, yeah, well, okay, well, Paul wrote this. Well, I'm not a disciple of Paul. I'm like, sounds like you're not a disciple of anybody. This is insanity. This is God's book, okay? God spoke more than is in this book, but he spoke everything in this book. And we need to worship him in spirit and truth. And you get a lot of that right here in the book. Anybody know really spirit-filled people who don't know the Bible? And you're like, there are no roots here. I don't want to go down that road. We get a lot of new believers in this church. And if you're not reading your Bible, you're probably just not going to last. I hate to tell you that. It's true. If you're not reading your Bible, you're probably not going to last. The storm is going to come, and you're still going to have your feelings that you're being led by. And I love when the Holy Ghost comes and blasts me, and I'm feeling good, but guess what? That wears off. And he wants to see you worship him in truth. There's times where Jesus says, listen, you don't feel me right now. I want to watch you still worship me. You hear what I'm saying? Wait, when you're married, guess what? Guess what? When you're on the honeymoon, it's easy to be in love on the honeymoon. Let things get rough. Let's see what your real covenant is. What's your covenant look like when things get rough? That's when you see, is it in spirit and truth or just when I feel good? Anybody hear what I'm talking about? Anybody? You'd say, oh, honeymoon's over, baby. I'm sorry. This isn't working out anymore. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Okay, this is going long, but come on up, Corey. You ready for the next one? Whatever number one, three, four, five, six. We're on six, right? You got to worship. When you feel down, here's what I want you to do. Anybody in here ever deal with depression? Does anybody ever feel blue? Along with me. Does anybody ever feel blue? You know what works for me? I'll worship like I'm at a Hillsong conference. And I am not lying. I will turn up the music as loud as it gets and I will sing at the top of my lungs. I went through a really bad season. I did that for about 4 months, 6 months, probably a year and a half. I don't know. It was a very long time. And I can tell you the songs that lifted my spirit and carried me through it. Hallelujah. You want to worship God. And you know what? I don't know if you know this, but we have worship every Sunday morning at 10:30. 10:30. It starts here at 10:30. Say 10:30. Tell your neighbor it starts at 10:30. Not 11 or 11:10. You get a full 40 minutes of worship every week right here. Some of you are bound in situations. And the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 16, it was in intercession and worship that Paul and Silas got their breakthrough. And if you don't go to intercession and you don't show up to worship, I tried church, but things didn't get any better. Well, I don't know what you did. The fire's here. All right, I'm going to end with this. You guys good? Give me a little plucking. You want to sit down and do it? What do you want to do? You need a chair? Somebody get, you know, you don't need a chair, do you? You have a strap? You're good. It's Corey Pagan, everybody. Everybody heard him lead worship last week? Take him down a little bit. Huh. Some of you, what's clogging the altar are old habits. Just old man. You got saved and you got rid of a bunch of stuff, and then you never had the second wave of purification happen in your life. Old habits, the way you used to dress, your old friends, your... Hallelujah. I'm going to pray now. Kevin, if you can grab that. We're going to pray now. Did any of these things resonate with you? I just want to make a fresh commitment. Then we're going to have a fire tunnel, and we're going to light a new fire with in the cleaned out altar. Are you good with that? So just prepare your heart to receive. I'm going to pray for you for a moment. And then after I'm done praying, Corey's going to sing a song one time, and we're just going to let it stew, and then we're going to have the fire tunnel. Is that okay? We're going to allow the Holy Spirit to minister right now. The Bible tells us that, if Holy Spirit doesn't come right now, I'm not really a fivefold minister. So I'm going to ask, Father, in the name of Jesus right now, that you would help people, that you would bring revelation. And you would cleanse hearts right now. That you would cleanse hearts right now. You would reveal heart issues, Jesus. You would make it easy for people to follow you. Father, it's our desire. It's our desire to be followers, to be disciples. It's our desire to be disciples, Jesus. And so now, we put all these old things on the altar again. Father, for those dealing with unforgiveness who say they've forgiven, but the relationship is not getting better, help us, Jesus, to walk in forgiveness. 70 times 7 every day. Father, that you would help us to hunger and thirst after your presence, after your word, after your spirit. Come right now, Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I release fresh revelation. Right now, I believe there's somebody God is healing, just a really serious headache that you've had, and it's been a demonic assault on your mind. Some headaches are just natural. This is spiritual. And I command it to be healed right now in the name of Jesus. Someone, there's like a stabbing pain behind your right eye. And I command it to be healed right now in the name of Jesus. Right now in the name of Jesus. That you would heal it right now in the name of Jesus. Comes off. The pain in the right ear. I command it to be healed right now in the name of Jesus. I command it to be healed right now in the name of Jesus. Comes off your life. Hallelujah. Freedom. Freedom. Freedom from oppression right now. The blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, if you would, please, nobody go anywhere until at the end of this song, and then we're all going to stand and pray together. Go ahead, Corey. And I just want you to make short work with Jesus while Corey sings the song.
Nothing between us. Back to the heart and the start of it all.
Bring the guitar
up. We found you out of the ashes into the fire. You're refining our hearts in the flames of your presence. Set apart for a God above. Set apart for the one we love. Set apart for your glory. We are yours, now to be your revival. Set apart for a God above.
Here's what we're going to do. He's going to sing the song one more time. And I want you to pray. And when you feel like you get that breakthrough, I just want you to stand and sing with us. Say, Jesus, I need breakthrough with you. I need a fresh fire. I need a fresh filling. And when you feel like God has spoken to you, when you feel like you have that unction, when you feel like the Spirit has moved upon you, I just want you to stand and begin to worship with us. You may have already received it. I don't know. I feel like God has already spoken to me. Hallelujah. Come on. Jesus, set your people apart right now. Father, we want to be a people who are set apart. We want to be set apart, Jesus. Come on, those people you know. I know I'm supposed to read my Bible every day. That's what the Lord spoke to me. Or I need to be at the prayer meeting. Or I need to be giving more generously. Come on. Come on, sing. Can I get my fire tunnel ministers to come forward? You were asked this morning to be in the fire tunnel if you would come. I just wanted to grab a handful of the people who were here Friday night because it was such a fire here Friday night. Come on, one more time, Corey. Let's all sing it. Set apart for God above. Set apart for the one we love. Set apart for your glory. We are yours, yours. Everything for you alone. Everything to make you known. Set apart for your glory. We are yours, yours. All right, here's how we're going to do this. We're all going to stand. We're going to come down the aisle right here. We're going to come through this way, and people are going to pray for you. Our ushers are in place. You guys ready? Come now. Prayer team, this is not soaking prayer. This is not counseling session time. Guardy, hit it. If you're visiting with us today, we thank you so much for coming. I'd love to talk to you right after service, my wife and I. If you need to sign up for a life group or find out more information about the Christmas party, you can go to the Next Steps table.
Burn.